in this city. And greater things are yet to be done through you by God's grace. 3.5 years ago, Trina and I graduated from Tribeca Nazarene University. And then we moved for the fourth time in our marriage. We became a part of a church that loves without restraint. We were welcomed on that first day by over 60 people when we pulled in with our U-Haul, and they were there to help. We were quickly embraced and invited into your lives. You have become family in so many ways. And like so many others in our town that have come to be a part of WCN, WCN has been a healing place for us. You have shown us what it means to be a faithful church. And even as we leave, we don't feel as if we're leaving so much as we are being sent from a sending church. We know that in these last years, our work here would not have been possible if it wasn't for a supportive church board, an outstanding staff team, a church that loves teenagers, a faithful group of youth, and a sacrificial group of youth workers. And as we go, we know that we leave the ministry in good hands. I want to thank you for loving us. Thank you for loving Trina. You may never know the contributions that she makes to ministry. The way she encourages me and stands by and works for the kingdom. She's a phenomenal partner. In these years, she served as a faithful youth leader. She's built and developed a flourishing ministry to our college students through the College Student Care Ministry. She's left her job for a week to serve on the mission team in Costa Rica after traveling for work the week before. She did the same for Mission Chester and Fall Retreat. She served as a board member for a local nonprofit. She's a faithful wife, a great friend, a wonderful partner for life. She's a lover of the church, a lover of family, and a true disciple of Christ. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your prayers as we continue through this transition. I want to ask if you'll stand with me as we read the text today. Hear the word of the Lord. From the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 3. If you're in the Pew Bibles, it's page 1503. Start with verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" Jesus replied, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." And then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened up, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. One of my favorite duties as an ordained minister is the administration of the sacraments. And tonight we have an opportunity to participate in that again and to share in that great work of God. And tonight, as my last ministerial act at WCN, I get the true privilege to baptize one who has entered the kingdom under my ministry. It's a privilege. It's a responsibility. I love the significance of baptism. I love the liturgy. I love the symbolism. It's like nothing else we do as the church. And that's just it. We as the church participate in baptism. You see, it's not an individual experience. It's not just a testimony. It's not just a dedication. It's a sign of God's grace at work in the lives of God's people. It reminds us that God has made the first move. And baptism reminds us that God will walk with us every step of the way. And for the one who is being baptized, it's a commissioning to participate in the kingdom work. For those who stand as witnesses to the baptism, it is a commissioning to walk alongside and to nurture the one being baptized. In baptism, we enter into a new kingdom, a new world. We enter into a community. In baptism, we enter into covenant with God and with our neighbor. In baptism, we become a new person with a new identity. In baptism, we become who we are created to be. Now, we know almost nothing of Jesus' life before his baptism. In fact, if you were to read this story in the Gospel of Mark, it'd be the first story in the Gospel. Mark just skips everything else and goes straight to baptism. It's like nothing else really mattered so much until Jesus was baptized. It's like his life began with his baptism. And he enters into the waters, a nameless Jewish carpenter, son of Joseph. But he leaves the beloved Son of God. And as we go down into the waters, we shed our own identities. Our old identities fade away. And when we emerge, we're no longer teacher or electrician or firefighter or fry cook. We're no longer daughter of so-and-so or son of so-and-so. And Paul says, we're no longer Jew or Gentile. We're no longer slave or free. We're no longer male or female. We come out of the waters, beloved children of God. And we leave the old kingdom behind, and we enter into a new kingdom, a kingdom in which we have a duty, we have a responsibility, we have something new to do with our lives. I love working with teenagers. They are an interesting bunch. Now, some of you may think that teenagers are loud and obnoxious. You may think they're strong-willed and rebellious. You may think they're lazy and unfocused. You may think that they're a bunch of alien life forms inhabiting human bodies. And to those of you who would think this, I have two things to share with you. First of all, sometimes you're right. But have you met you? Sometimes you're loud and obnoxious, strong-willed and rebellious, lazy and unfocused. And second, I want you to know that teenagers aren't some alien life force. Let me tell you a secret. Teenagers are people. Teenagers are people. Teenagers are people with deep passions, real life experience, and very unique personalities. And they hear the voice of God. And they answer. Oftentimes, they answer more freely than many adults. They long to give themselves to something real, something significant. And these teens, they love Jesus. They love the church. They love the world. And while the old kingdom seeks to have its way with them, as the old kingdom tells them all sorts of things, they're told again and again by this old kingdom to seek their own interests. By this old kingdom, they are told to seek their own interests. When they're considering extracurriculars, they've been told to pursue what's fun and self-serving. In this old kingdom, when they're considering future jobs or even current jobs, they've been taught to think for themselves, to think first of themselves, paying their own bills, doing what they enjoy. When considering college, this old kingdom, it tells them to think in terms of what will give them fulfillment and happiness. They've heard the message of the old kingdom. Think for yourself. But they give their lives in radical ways. They give themselves to this new kingdom. They refuse to be cluttered with things that don't serve the kingdom. They get up early before school so they can go help out their elderly neighbors. They serve the church at a moment's notice. They secretly gather together on a Friday night to practice a song that they can sing and lead in worship. They spend their afternoons watering and weeding and harvesting food that they will never eat. They give up softball, having played for years, in order to pursue a higher calling. They give up their spring break to serve the mission of God. They hold a car wash, work to raise money so they can give it away. They give their weekends to come alongside struggling churches. They spend the first week of their summer break sharing Christ with children. They spend Christmas vacation conspiring for the kingdom of God. They belong to the new kingdom. They speak the language. They walk the walk. They live life as true disciples of Christ. And greater things are yet to come. And if you want to know what the kingdom of God looks like, you can look at what God is doing in and through their lives. And their mantra, their call, the voice that they share with all of those they encounter is join the inbreaking kingdom. Because they have come to know this kingdom and they want to share it with everyone they encounter. They want you to join the inbreaking kingdom. And this all is because they have come to learn to embrace their baptism. They remember that God has poured out grace and love upon them. They refuse to forget their calling to work in this new kingdom. They have abandoned their old identities. And they have assumed the identity of Christ. And God's kingdom breaks in. Again. And again. And again. And again. I have the best job in the world. And as I've told my fellow youth pastors for the last 3.5 years, WCN is a youth pastor's paradise. I tell them this so often in so many of our conversations. You know, pastors get together and believe it or not, we talk about you. We do. We talk about life in ministry. We talk about the good things. We talk about the hard things. We talk about the struggles. We pray together. And I talk with my youth pastor buddies, and they're telling me the struggles they're having in their churches, and the story that starts this way and ends this way, and just how it's tough. And I say, you know what? Let me tell you a story kind of like that. It started like that in our church, but it ended so differently. So let me tell you a story that started like that and ended like this. And after I get a couple of stories, they just discount everything else I have to say. I don't get to talk anymore. It's like I don't have a real life experience. I don't have a real church. That I don't have the struggles of youth ministry that they have. And so they shut me down. I'm not allowed to speak. WCN is a youth pastor's paradise. Church, keep it that way. You see, being a member of the kingdom of God, being a member of this new kingdom means two things. Being a member of the kingdom means loving God and loving your neighbor. That's what it means to be baptized. That's what it means to be baptized into this kingdom. Loving God, and loving your neighbor. Say it with me, church. Loving God and loving your neighbor. Now, we know that baptism means loving God. But don't forget loving your neighbor. Being a disciple means loving God and loving your neighbor. And don't forget loving your neighbor. Being baptized, being Christian, means loving your God and loving your neighbor. That's to say, there is no such thing as solo Christianity. There is no such thing as just Jesus and me. Because Jesus comes with others. He just has others. Jesus is the God of others. And so when you have Jesus, you have others. There's no Jesus in me. This God is a God of others. And when you become a disciple of Jesus, when you get baptized, you enter into a community with all kinds of different people. But in that community, you have a responsibility to serve the kingdom, to encourage and nurture and support your fellow disciples, and to love and serve and seek the interest of others before your own. This is the image that Christ has given us. It's an image of loving God and loving your neighbor. Entering into this kingdom, being baptized, means loving God and loving your neighbor. You might say, well, who's my neighbor? Well, somebody asked Jesus this once. And as Jesus does, he answers it with a parable. He basically says in this parable that it's not just the people you like. In fact, your neighbor is not just the people who live next door. Your neighbor includes those across town who have a different skin color. Your neighbor includes those people across state lines who vote for the other party. Your neighbor includes those people across the oceans who live differently. Your neighbor includes those people who worship other gods. Your neighbor includes not just the people who live next door. In fact, your neighbor also includes the people who live next door. Being baptized, entering into this kingdom, means loving God and loving your neighbor. Now, Fred Craddock is perhaps my favorite preacher. He died this year. But his service in the kingdom continues. Fred Craddock, he is a preacher's preacher. We preachers learn from him. And he's a great narrative preacher. He tells these stories that make you lean in and make you become a part of what's going on in that story. And it becomes a part of you. And he's just an outstanding preacher. Well, he told this story one time. In Southwest Oklahoma, my wife, Nettie, and I ministered for 3 years in this little town. The population was about 450 on a good day. Now, there were four churches there, a Methodist church, a Baptist church, a Nazarene church, and a Christian church, which a Christian church, for those of you who aren't familiar, is a church of the disciples of Christ. Each had its share of the population. On Wednesday nights and on Sundays, each had a small collection of young people. The attendance rose and fell according to the weather and whether or not it was time to harvest the wheat. The best and most consistent attendance in town, however, was at the little cafe where all the pickup trucks were parked. And all the men were inside discussing the weather and the cattle and the wheat bugs and the hail and the wind and whether we were going to have a crop, while their wives and sons and daughters were in one of those four churches. The churches had good attendance and they had poor attendance, but the cafe consistently had good attendance. Better attendance than some of the churches. Men were always there. Now, once in a while, they'd lose a member there at the cafe because his wife finally got to him, or maybe his kids did. And so you would see him go off sheepishly to one of those churches. But the men at the cafe, they still felt that they were the biggest and strongest group in town. And so they met on Wednesdays and Sundays and every other day to discuss the weather and such. They were not bad men. In fact, they were good men, family men, hardworking men. And the patron saint of their group at the cafe was Frank. Frank was 77 years old when I met him. He was a good man, a strong man, a pioneer, a rancher, a farmer, a cattleman. He had been born in a sod house and he had prospered. He had his credentials and all of the men there at the cafe considered him their patron saint.
Ha ha, they said, "Oh, Frank will never go to church."
One day I met Frank on the street and he knew I was a preacher. But it's never been my custom to accost people in the name of Jesus. So I just shook hands and visited with Frank. Then he took the offensive. He said, "I work hard, I take care of my family, and I mind my own business." He said that as far as he was concerned, everything else is fluff. He was telling me, "Leave me alone, I'm not a prospect." So I didn't bother Frank. That's why I was surprised. Indeed, the church was surprised. The whole town was surprised, and the men at the cafe were absolutely bumfuzzled when old Frank, 77 years old, presented himself before me one Sunday morning for baptism. A baptized Frank. Some in the community said, "Frank must be sick." Said he must be scared to meet his maker. Some said, "He's got heart trouble going up to be baptized." I never thought old Frank would do that, but I guess when you get scared... There were all kinds of stories. But this is the way Frank told it to me. You see, we were talking together the day after his baptism and I said, "Frank, do you remember that little saying you used to give me so much? I work hard, I take care of my family, I mind my own business." He said, "Yeah, I remember that. I said that a lot." "Do you still say that?" "Yeah." "Then what's the difference?" He said, "I didn't know then what my business was." Frank discovered what his business was. It was to serve human need. I baptized Frank. I raised my hand and said, "In the presence of those who gathered, upon your confession of faith in Jesus Christ, in obedience to his command, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen." So, church, you have a responsibility. You have a responsibility in the new kingdom to serve in the kingdom, to nurture those who are being baptized, to walk alongside them, and to extend the grace of God with those all throughout the world. You have business to do. And tonight you have a responsibility. You, church, you have a responsibility. You have business to mind. So come tonight and mind your business. Baptism is not an addendum to the life, the worship life of the church. It's not an extracurricular. It's not a bonus or an option. It's part of minding your business as a baptized Christian. To be present and to participate in the sacrament, to encourage, to nurture, and to support those who are being baptized tonight. Be here at 6 o'clock. Those who will be baptized tonight, they need to know that you are with them. They need to know that this community that they're entering into called the New Kingdom, the Kingdom of God, is filled with people who are coming alongside them and pursuing the same work. They need to know you're with them. Come mind your business tonight. Would you stand with me? In a moment, we're going to sing the doxology. Many of you were present for Pastor Daniel's ordination a few weeks ago. Many of you were present for mine in 2012, and you were there for Pastor Danny's and Pastor Darren's. Ordination is the act of God claiming that this one is called by God. And during the service, all the ordained ministers, those who had been ordained before, they would gather around and lay hands on the one to be ordained. And after the ordination, they'd welcome the newly ordained elders as sisters and brothers in this holy order of the church. And they commit to encourage, to nurture, and to support those being ordained. And during our ordination service, each of your pastors were addressed by name and given this charge. Take thou authority as an elder in the church of God. Preach the word. Administer the holy sacraments and order the life of the church. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so to you today, church, I give you this charge. Church, take thou authority as disciples of Christ. Love the Lord your God with your whole heart. Love your neighbor with your whole life. Proclaim the kingdom. Nurture the baptized. Extend grace to the world. Join the inbreaking kingdom. Mind your business. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.